What does all this mean? Well, it means that, according to all reasonable logic, we should not be as good as we are. It means that we are extremely efficient. It means that we somehow deliver an excellent academic product to our students without the resources that other universities have. The end result is that we produce a very good product on graduation day. You, the men and women who leave here to enter careers and communities all over the world. I hear from many employers that they can recognize a UVA graduate when they see one. There is something special and uniquely UVA about the young men and women who embark on careers after leaving this place. But they can't name for me what that specialness is. What is it about this place that produces such distinctive people? The Chronicle of Higher Education has just launched a series of articles to answer the question, how should quality in higher education be measured? As the Chronicle points out, the rankings of colleges and universities measure things like students' admissions test scores and the number of books in their libraries. But those measures don't reveal much about what colleges actually do for their students. Or in the lingo of evaluation research, we have input measures, but not process measures. What else happens here at UVA that goes unaccounted for in those rankings? And can we measure or even describe those intangibles? As students here, you participate in long-standing systems of honor and self-governance. You volunteer to serve the local community through Madison House. You develop and refine your leadership skills by participating in student government and other leadership programs. How do we measure the effect of these experiences? How do they contribute to the quality of this place? One of the most distinctive features of university life is the remarkable degree to which our students are responsible for themselves and for each other. We want to encourage this and to foster the growth of a caring community, one whose members recognize their shared responsibility for each other. Students initiated the call for a day of dialogue, which will occur on Friday, September 24th. The purpose of this day of discussion is to continue conversations that began last spring in the wake of Yardley Love's death. Conversations about violence, violence prevention, and safety. I hope all of you who are able to participate will do so. UVA students have launched another initiative with a similar purpose. You may have heard, or you may soon hear, about the Get Grounded Coalition. Composed of student-run organizations, the coalition is working to create a culture of shared responsibility on the grounds, to teach all of us to be vigilant and to look out for each other's well-being. This strong sense of community and shared responsibility certainly contributes to the quality of your experience here, but it doesn't necessarily show up in the national rankings. Other intangibles of this place defy measurement. How do we calculate the value of living and learning in Thomas Jefferson's Academical Village, a UNESCO World Heritage Site, or walking the lawn on an autumn night under a full moon? How do we measure the value of learning and living the core values that define this place? Honor and ethics, service, innovation and collaboration. The student body here is uniformly intelligent. 90% of the students in this year's entering class were in the top 10% of their high school's graduating class. That number hovers around the 90% mark every year. You and your classmates could have gone to almost any college or university anywhere. So why did you choose to come here? Maybe it's because of these intangibles that defy the tools of measurement. We know that we have wonderful faculty here, but how wonderful are they? Is there a way to measure that? The effectiveness of teaching can be difficult to quantify and measure, but various parties are working on ways to try to do it. Several quality of learning projects are underway nationally. One example is the Voluntary System of Accountability. The program was funded by the Lumina Foundation and sponsored by the Association of Public and Land-Grant Universities, which is called APOU, and the Association of State Colleges and Universities, called ASCU. This program collects data on learning outcomes at public four-year colleges and universities, and each institution that participates, and there are now 332 of them, create accountability reports. This report appears on their homepage. There is a similar program among private institutions called UCAN, which currently has over 900 institutions included. One piece of information that these organizations ask for is a measure of the value added by the college. And here's how they try to measure that. They compare the scores on exit tests administered to graduating seniors with the scores of entering first-year students. Or in some cases, they compare the scores of a graduate with his or her own scores as an entering student. While I was at Michigan, we thought about whether this made sense for us. And so we decided to do a pilot of this exit exam. We gave the exit exam to a random sample of entering freshmen. They're not first years there, they're freshmen. So at Michigan, the entering freshmen scored in the 99th percentile of the exit exam. And of course, what that means is there is no way for the university to show any value added because they can't improve. Now, I'm pretty sure, based on the similarities in the two entering classes, that we would have exactly the same result at Virginia, so that we could not prove through that test that any value had been added. How effective is a test to measure learning outcomes if everyone aces the test? Here at UVA in the Curry School of Education, we do have a program that focuses on the quality of teaching and student learning. It's called the Center for the Advanced Study of Teaching and Learning, or CASEL. The CASEL researchers apply scientific analysis to measure the quality of teaching. They use technology and observational research to provide direct support to teachers. To date, CASEL has worked primarily to evaluate and improve the quality of K-12 teacher education. This work has included designing new mechanisms for the study and support of teachers in the field, understanding the classroom conditions that maximize students' engagement in learning, and integrating teachers' knowledge with their skills in transmitting their knowledge to the students. The leaders of the CASEL program are now working to expand these programs to higher education, starting with programs here at the university. The ultimate goal is to transform our own degree and training programs into laboratories for the study and improvement of higher education. You're going to have opportunity to learn more about CASEL and the study of teaching and learning this spring. As part of my inauguration as president next April, we plan to hold an academic conference focused on ways to improve teaching performance. It will be a one-day pan-university conference that coincides with a research competition. I hope you'll take an interest in those activities and encourage your classmates to do so. So back to the question, how will we know that we are good? There's another way we could measure ourselves. Let's put that question to our founder. Would Thomas Jefferson think that we are good? To what extent have we fulfilled Jefferson's aspirations for the university he envisioned and built? Can we measure the extent to which we have fulfilled his founding vision? Jefferson was pretty clear about his ambitions for this place, and those ambitions were sky high. He wrote, "This institution will be based on the illimitable freedom of the human mind to explore and to expose every subject susceptible of its contemplation." Talk about setting the bar high. Although his aspirations were lofty, Jefferson's ideas about the necessities of learning were very down to earth. He grounded the university's original curriculum in what he called the useful sciences. The word science in 19th century usage referred not only to the empirical sciences, but to all fields of learning. In a letter he wrote some 19 years before the university's founding, Jefferson described his vision for a new university that would educate students in the sciences which seem useful and practicable. In the same letter, he listed the subjects that he believed would address the useful sciences. They spanned a broad range of disciplines: botany, chemistry, zoology, anatomy, surgery, medicine, natural philosophy, agriculture, mathematics, astronomy, geology, geography, politics, commerce, history, ethics, law, arts, fine arts. The list reads like a sampler of the university's curriculum today. Jefferson saw the accumulation of knowledge in a wide selection of disciplines as essential to the maturation of the human mind and fundamental to the fulfillment of basic human needs. He wrote, "Knowledge is power. Knowledge is safety. Knowledge is happiness." Knowledge is useful, he argued, because it prepares young people to assume meaningful roles in society, to step into adulthood as enlightened, ethical, contributing members of their communities. We have the same goals today, but in more recent times, we've broadened Jefferson's founding curriculum to address themes, technologies, and present-day problems that have emerged during our lifetimes. Within the last 20 years, we've added new majors in media studies, cognitive science, environmental thought and practice, neurosciences, applied statistics, and computer science, new minors in bioethics, film studies, and dance, and new concentrations in environmental and biological conservation, German studies, and international economics. Does our current curriculum explore and expose every subject susceptible of its contemplation, as Jefferson hoped it would? We hope so, and we keep a close eye on our course offerings to ensure that we continue to set our standards as high as Jefferson did nearly 200 years ago. Thomas Jefferson set another high mark when he envisioned his university as the future bulwark of the human mind in this hemisphere. The university has certainly become a bulwark of the human mind. All colleges and universities fulfill that objective to some degree, some better than others. But what about the positioning of the bulwark in this hemisphere? Obviously, our world today is remarkably different than the world Jefferson knew in his time. In today's global economy, hemispheres and other delineations of geographical distance have become somewhat meaningless. Today, we're less concerned about our place in the hemisphere and more concerned about our place in the world. To equip students for success in the global economy, the university has to be an institution built for discovery, study, and service on a global scale. We've come a long way toward that goal in the last 20 years. 20 years ago, UVA had fewer than 10 faculty-led study abroad programs and even fewer exchange relationships. In 2010, we have more than 50 study abroad programs and more than 40 exchange relationships. Last year alone, we added new study abroad programs in India, Bangladesh, Germany, Argentina, and Southeast Asia. Just 20 years ago, we had only 525 international students. In 2010, more than 2,500 of our students are non-US citizens. 20 years ago, about 500 students participated in study abroad programs. Last year, 1,900 participated. In last year's J term, 144 students participated in 9 study abroad programs in Belize, Berlin, Ireland, Italy, Nicaragua, London, India, South Asia, and St. Kitts and Nevis.